Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Leuk dat je kijkt en dat je misschien vroeg je bed bent uitgekomen op deze vroege zondagmorgen. Maar we hebben een fantastische dienst vanuit de Christelijke Tidam. Moet je even nagaan. Miss America vertelt dat, en daar toppen natuurlijk een heleboel mensen mee, mannen en vrouwen, dat van buitenkant mooi zijn, want dan, anders word je geen Miss America, is niet zo belangrijk. Het gaat om de binnenkant, wat er werkelijk in je leven en in je hart omgaat. En iemand die erover mee kan praten, vanmorgen bij Hour of Power, is Henny Huisman.
Hallo.
Henny, hoi, goedemorgen. Leuk dat je er bent.
Dank je.
Binnenkant, buitenkant. Je bent er natuurlijk ook mee bezig met al die tv-programma's waar mensen op hun paasbest willen zijn.
Ja.
Maar het gaat hier om, hè?
Daar gaat het om, ja. Uiteindelijk wel, ja. Maar ik moet je zeggen, als je van binnen je goed voelt, dat je dat ook vaak aan de buitenkant uitstraalt.
Ja.
Dat kan al heel eenvoudig zijn. Je haar goed zit of wat dan ook. Of je mooi gekleed bent.
Ja.
Maar het echte gevoeltje, ja, dat zit hier. Ja.
Ja, daar gaan we het straks over hebben.
Okay.
Maar één ding, je haar zit goed.
Dank je.
Okay. En nog meer muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. Roger Williams, die fameuze pianist die A Mighty Fortress speelt. Dat bekende lied. En Daniel Rodriguez zingt Immortal Invisible. Kortom, een geweldige uitzending vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. En hier in Nederland natuurlijk.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power. Now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
This is a place where you can feel the power of God, because that's what this is about. It's about us getting connected with our Creator and our Lord. And so we're glad you're here this morning, and we want you to feel the love that is here. We've got a lot of love because that's what Christ came to do, is to share his love with people. So would you allow that love to flow through you as you shake hands with those who are standing next to you and behind you and say, God loves you, and so do I. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to be connected with you, to be connected in spirit, in love, in faith, and hope. And so as we are connected with you, we know that we cannot fail, that all things are possible with you. And so allow your spirit to flow through us, we pray, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
Thank you. may be seated. Now hear the word of the Lord.
O Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit up, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Oh, Lord, why, that's the truth. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. May God bless these wise, wonderful words. Amen.
We heard a little over a month ago of two American servicemen in Iraq who in their trenches were less than 20 feet from the shouting and screaming terrorists, and that it was their recording of our choir's anthems that they played during all that time on their MP3 playing recorders that got them through that extremely difficult and frightening situation. Now, just this last week, I heard again that these same two men took the recordings of the anthems and went to a nearby hospital to play them for our wounded soldiers. One among them was a young man whose recovery was impossible. After listening for about an hour to our anthems, he opened his eyes briefly and said in a heartfelt voice, "Oh, thank you, God," and quietly and peacefully died. The message that the choir would like to send out to the world today is that it is well with our soul. And indeed, wherever we might find ourselves on this earth, and in however the difficult situations might be, it will always be well with our soul, the Holy Spirit within each one of us. And the moment that we reach into their soul and connect with the presence of the living God, that very instant, we will find the peace that passes all understanding.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don Newman, and thank you, choir. I think you are the best choir singing in the churches of America today. I'm so excited to welcome two very exceptional guests to the Crystal Cathedral this morning, Alejandra and her husband Alejandro. Now, Ali is an actress, a model, former Miss USA, not many years ago. Wow. She's probably best known for her famous Super Bowl commercials. Her husband, Alejandro, wrote and directed the 2007 Toronto Film Festival winning movie, Bella. Writer and director of that great movie, which is now, I think, being seen or will be shortly in the country. Two very attractive young people. Please welcome them today, Ali and her husband, Alejandro. Thank you very much. Ali, you look as young and as pretty as when you won the Miss USA contest.
You're so kind. That was, I guess, around 11 years ago.
Really? You don't look any older.
Yes, but the most exciting thing, I guess, that just happened for us is we have a brand new baby. Her name is Estella Inez. She's 8 weeks old.
Oh,
so that's our big joy in our life right now.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But you look differently than you did on the Super Bowl commercials. You don't look like the same person.
Well, I would definitely say I'm not the same person inside. You know, I've always had God very present in my life since I was a young child, brought up in a wonderful family. But I guess not until about 4 years ago, I really felt his hand in my life. I felt like God took his hand and pulled me out of what could have potentially been a terrible life for me. I was in a relationship before I met my husband for 6 years with someone. I got married, and shortly after that, I found out that I had been betrayed in that relationship pretty much for the entire 6 years. I had never had anything bad happen to me in my life. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't find solace in anything, in my friends, in my mother, in my family. So I turned to the Word of God. Every single day for 4 to 5 months, I guess, I read the Bible. It was the only place I felt comfort. Every question I had, why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? I would immediately go to the Word. And I felt such peace. It was the only place that I really had that peace. My father would ask me, why aren't you angry? And I couldn't be angry because I saw then how blessed I was that because God was in my life, he took me out of something that could have been potentially, you know, a really terrible life for myself. And from that point on, I decided to change the way I walked in this world. I wanted to walk through this world in my life, in my personal life, in my career. I wanted everything to reflect how I felt in my heart. I wanted to make choices and decisions and that reflected how the person I was inside. It's very, very hard in the business we're in Hollywood, to live that way, you know, to have a career with our beliefs. So, you know, we've made that choice. We're standing firm in that. And that's why when Bella came along, this project, it was such a blessing.
Let me stop a moment. They may not know about the Bella project,
that's
even
right.
though... Eduardo, I think, was here.
Was here,
with us.
Eduardo,
yes.
Right.
So enter this young man.
Yes.
After the Super Bowl commercials.
That's right. Long after.
And how did you connect with her? You were a Christian, right?
Yes, yes. Well, our good friend Eduardo, because we wanted to be in Hollywood and try to make a difference, what we did is we are my other business partner. His name is Leo Severino. He's a theologian, so he put together a theology class. And Eduardo saw Ali in one of the events and invited her. And that's where we literally met at a Bible study, which, you know, I knew that had the seal from God, and you know, from then until today, we have not been separated. So that's how we met.
Wonderful. So you were married?
Yeah, yes. We're married, and like she said, we just had the biggest miracle a human being can experience alive, which is the birth of our daughter. So it was it's just been an amazing experience to be a father and be parents.
Fantastic. Tell me a little more about Bella. That movie is a great Christian movie.
Yeah, when Eduardo, who was here, you know, we met at my brother's restaurant, and we started talking about, you know, trying to change, you know, the media, because in today's world, you know, the media is one of the tools that are being used to poison the society and to poison the minds of the youth. So we were trying to figure out how to make films that, you know, could elevate the human dignity. And we started reading different scripts, and we couldn't find anything that really kind of, you know, touch, that we know that had the potential to touch people's hearts. So that's when I went and I wrote this film literally for Eduardo to play the role. And, you know, one thing that I always keep in mind is kind of like what St. Francis said, you know, go to the world, preach the gospel, and only if necessary, use words.
We believe that God gives us dreams. Last week I said he is the almighty dreamer of great dreams. He gives them to you. And he took you from the sexy ads mm-hmm. on Super Bowl mm-hmm. into the spiritual path you're on today.
That's right. It's very tempting, you know, what he's saying, because so many opportunities come your way. Like for myself, once I decided to start to change my path and still stay in the career, the profession that I'm in, I had to pass on project after project. Every week I was saying no, no, no. Everybody thought I was crazy. You know, my agents dropped me. I had to find someone else to represent me. But I had to stand firm in what I believed, because God had blessed me so much. And I really felt the grace in my life, and I knew that it was possible. And I think that made me stronger. It gave me strength. But it's tough, and it's very tempting. But the rewards, like you said, are endless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Fountains of goodness and love, be more.
fantastisch gezongen Immortal, Invisible. En het leuke is dat Daniel Rodriguez dat ook op onze kerstconcerten gaat zingen. En wat heeft die man een fantastische stem. Dat heb jij ook, Henny.
Bedoel je een stem om te zingen?
Nee, je hebt
Want je zit dan te denken aan snuitje. Dat was niet zo mooi. Een stem hebben kan ook zijn van dat je iets uitdraagt of zo. Ja. Dat is wat je bedoelt.
Ja, precies. Ja. Wat draag jij uit?
Ja.
Zo open doel, hè?
Ja. Ja, ik wil vooral uitdragen dat ik... dat ik gelovig ben. Dat ik... dat er een God voor mij is. En dat is een lekker idee dat hij er is. Ik bedoel, ik spreek heel vaak mensen die zeggen... ja, maar die hebben niets. En dan zeg ik, ja, het is makkelijker om wel wat te hebben. En om te geloven. Want ze denken dat het heel ingewikkeld is. En moet je het helemaal uitleggen. En dan zeg ik, nee, het is juist makkelijker. Want je hoeft niet bang te zijn. En je hebt iemand die je vasthoudt. En je hoeft niet van de daken te schreeuwen van... maar je straalt dat op een of andere manier uit. Je kan ook zeggen, nou, ik doe het niet, of ik wil het niet... of ik sta er niet voor open. Dat is wel jammer, ja. Zonde.
Het goede is, je wordt nooit gedwongen.
Nee, maar dat gebeurde natuurlijk vroeger wel wat meer, hè, mensen. Ja. Je moet niets. Nee. Alleen als je het doet, word je er ontzettend gelukkig van.
Weet je wat ik nou zo leuk vind van jou? In Nederland ga je naar de katholieke kerk... waar je met je vader als klein jongetje nog naartoe ging. Daar ga je nog trouw heen. Maar in Curaçao, daar ga je naar de Pinkster...
Bonaire bedoel je, ja. Het wordt altijd voor elkaar gehaald, hoor. Ja, het is hetzelfde.
Is er een verschil tussen die twee eilanden dan?
Ja, dat is, maar het is hetzelfde als iemand die op de Schelling woont... en zegt, je woont
op
Texel.
Ja, dat is een beetje een rustige eiland.
Ja, het is een rustige eiland. Ja.
Maar daar ga je naar een hele uitbundige gemeente... En heel ingetogen in Nederland.
Ja, ja, grappig is dat. Ja. Dat komt misschien ook wel omdat de mensen daar... zich meer durven te uiten naar God toe. Ja. Dus ze zingen, ze springen, ze dansen. Ze nemen plastic tassen mee met sambaballen of met tamboerijn. Als je dat mee zou nemen, dan kan ik natuurlijk denken... die man is gek geworden, weet je wel. Dus ze durven meer. Ze durven zich meer te tonen. En dat is ontzettend leuk om te zien.
Maar doe jij dat ook mee?
Ja, tuurlijk. Je kan niet achterblijven. Nee. Je komt binnen en dan zeggen ze... Henny, broeder, hoe is het? God zegen. En dan iedereen staat met iedereen te knuffelen en te doen. Dat is prachtig om te zien.
Dat past wel bij jou, hè?
Ja, dat vind ik leuk.
Echte knuffelaar.
Ja, ik ben een knuffelaar. Ja,
maar vind ik ook heerlijk dat je dat kan. En dat je dat niet gemaakt is en echt is.
Ja.
Henny, we hadden het net even over. Dat wil ik toch even ophalen. Dat we altijd op de begrafenis van majoor Borchardt. Dat vonden we altijd zo indrukwekkend. En ik denk dat we best nog eens over haar mogen praten en naar haar terug mogen denken.
Zeker. Ik denk ook dat een gedeelte van het hiernamaals is, ook als mensen hier op aarde achterblijven, dat je zo mooi en goed over haar kan praten. Want was dat een fantastisch mens. Wij zaten dan bij de genodigden. En er waren alle grote mensen en beroemde mensen waren er ook. Maar er liepen ook zwervers in de rondte. En mensen die je normaal gesproken zou vergeten. Nou, dat was bij haar niet zo. En dan vond ik ook met name dat de dienst heel goed geleid werd. Heel modern en leuk over de gesproken. Ja. En dus dat ze overal werd uitgenodigd in programma's. En dat ze ook vertelde, ze had alleen geen zorg wat ze aan zou trekken. Want ze deed gewoon haar pak aan van het leger. En dat was enig om te horen. Ja.
Maar op Borchardt praatte altijd met iedereen over, met het grootste gemak over het geloof, over God wat hij bezig hield. Daar heb je ook geen moeite mee.
Ik dring het niet op. Alleen als ze het aan me vragen, dan vind ik het wel erg leuk om het te zeggen. Je moet een drempel over om misschien wel om het te durven zeggen. Er wordt, als je bekend bent, toch wel vaak geluisterd. Ja. En dan vind ik het leuk om het te zeggen. Als Amerikanen of Engelsen in liedjes Jesus zingen, dan vindt iedereen dat prachtig. En als je het hier over Jezus hebt, zeg je, wat bedoel je dan? Weet je wel, het wordt vaak ook moeilijk gemaakt. Ja. Ja. Mensen zouden er gewoon nog meer makkelijker over moeten praten.
Weet je wat ik nou zo mooi vind, Henny? Je zit zo met passie te praten. En achter jou schijnt die zon en je wordt als het ware door een lichtstraal omgeven.
Ja, leuk is dat, hè? Ja.
Mooi. Henny, jij zit...
Ik geloof daar ook wel in, hoor. Ja, ja, ik geloof ook wel dat je... Ja, het is misschien heel stom, ik zeg, maar ik denk wel dat... Als je mooi over hem praat... dan voel je dat van binnen, maar dan is zo'n zonnetje erbij wel extra, ja. Terwijl het, toen ik hier naartoe kwam, regende het.
Ja, dan krijg je tranen in je ogen.
Nou, omdat ik dat mooi vind. Ik vind dat mooi. Ik vind dat mooi dat dat me overkomen is.
Ja.
Ja.
En het is een bijzonder jaar voor je. Misschien sta je er zelf niet zo eens bij stil... maar je zit 25 jaar in het vak, zoals dat heet. Mm-hmm. En je zult waarschijnlijk dit jaar allerlei wensen krijgen van allerlei mensen. Maar ik wil je een wens geven van David,
ja,
koning van Israël ooit. Hij schreef 150 psalmen. 25 jaar. Ik geef u een tekst mee uit de 25e psalm. Vind je dat gek of mag dat?
Nee, helemaal niet.
Nee? Oké. Okay. Er staat, en dat wens ik je toe... Voorzie mij van geloof en van integriteit... alsof het mijn lijfwachten zijn. Want u zult mij beschermen. Mijn hoop is op u gevestigd. Dat wil ik je meegeven en feliciteren.
Ja, oké, dankjewel.
Je bent een fantastisch mens.
Dankjewel.
En heel fijn dat je hier wilde komen. We hebben straks de kerstconcerten.
Ja.
Ja, ik ben nog even onder de indruk dat jij ook je emotie laat zien.
Ja, omdat ik het... ik vind het zo... omdat je hier de kans krijgt in dit programma,
ja,
hè, om erover te praten. Ik vind, als ik bij Pauw en Witteman zit, hoef ik het niet te zeggen.
Ja.
Als ze erover vragen, wel natuurlijk.
Ja.
Maar bij jou in het programma, The Hour of Power is een programma waar je over God en over Jezus praat.
Ja.
En dan moet ik het niet over koetjes en kalfjes hebben. Dat is zonde van de tijd.
Blijf het vooral doen.
Oké.
En hartelijk bedankt dat je vanmorgen je paarden en je geliefde vrouw en kinderen de steek wilt laten om even hier te komen.
Ja.
Ik wil je niet met lege handen terugsturen. Misschien kun je dit in de paardenstal of thuis draaien.
Ja,
dat
dankjewel.
Is You Raise Me Up. Dat is van samenvatting van een concert van Hour of Power vorig jaar.
Dankjewel. Vorige keer kreeg ik bloemen, weet je nog, zo uit de tuin geplukt.
Meen je dat?
Ja, nee, dat hoef je niet te doen, hoor.
Nee, jij krijgt die bloemen mee.
Dat lijkt zo inhalig nu.
Nee, maar ik zag dat je het meende. Kijk,
ja.
Ik haal ze er gelijk op. Zo, ja, vrienden.
Dankjewel.
Oh, wat ligt daar? Oh ja, dat is...
Ja.
Ja.
Ik kom er naartoe, naar Drachten kom ik.
Wat leuk, dat is de snelste groeiende kerk van Nederland.
Ja, dat weet ik. Ja.
Dat is zo supergoed.
Ja.
Dus op 18 december. Nou, dan zeg je ook wat even tegen het volk wat daar aanwezig is, hoop ik.
Ja, dat zal ik zeker doen. Okay. Ja, dat zal ik zeker doen. Okay.
Alle goeds.
Okay.
En wij laten nog even weten hoe je de kerstconcerten kunt meemaken.
Power organiseert dit jaar 7 kerstconcerten en heeft een sfeervol programma voor u samengesteld, waarin de geboorte van Jezus centraal staat. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en de prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door een keur van absolute topartiesten. De Amerikaanse tenor Daniel Rodriguez maakte vorig jaar grote indruk met zijn warme stemgeluid en treedt ook dit jaar op. Ook Jan Mulder, de bekende pianist, verleent zijn medewerking aan onze kerstconcerten. Hij leidt een geweldig orkest en een groot koor. Bovendien zal de meidengroep Excess optreden tijdens onze kerstconcerten, verspreid door het hele land. Het beloven 7 onvergetelijke avonden te worden die we graag met u willen beleven. Dinsdag 11 december zijn we in de Grote Kerk in Naarden. 13 december de Meervaart in Amsterdam. En vrijdag 14 december zijn we in Apeldoorn. Zaterdag 15 december in Roermond. Maandag 17 december in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. 18 december de Battle in Drachten. En het slotconcert op woensdag 19 december in de Laurenskerk in Rotterdam. De deuren gaan open om 7 uur en de concerten beginnen om 7:45. U kunt uw plaatsen het snelst reserveren via www.hourofpower.nl. Of bel met ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035 538 0588. Thank you.
This ministry boils down to these three words. Know, love, and serve. Powerful words. Know, love, and serve. That's what it's all about. Know, love, and serve. Know God, love people, and serve the world. That's what we're all about. That's what we do. It starts to take light when you start reading the Bible. You know, at the very beginning, I'm reading the Bible, and guess what I read? At the very beginning of Genesis, it says that Adam knew Eve. That's a big word. It doesn't say that Adam had sexual intercourse with Eve. Shallow words. It was a deep word, an intimate word, a word that expressed who we are through Christ. Adam knew Eve. When you stop and you look at the word to know, one of the things that I remembered as reading through the Bible was St. Paul. In fact, St. Paul wrote about a third of the New Testament. In his travels, he comes to Athens. He says, I even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. Isn't that fascinating? Here he is in one of the most beautiful cities in the entire world. And this is a city upon which the Parthenon rests and overshadows everything. Even to this day, the Parthenon overshadows the entire city of Athens. Parthenon was the temple to Athena. And it was in this city that St. Paul recognized that they even had a temple set up to the unknown God. Because the Greek mythology is the beginning of a pantheon of gods. You have Zeus and Neptune and Athena and Mars and Achilles, and the list goes on and on and on. All you have to do is go and study your Greek mythology to get a brief description of all of the different Greek gods. But then there's the god, an unknown god. I look at our society today, and most people have a temple to an unknown God. It's a temple in their mind, it's a temple in their heart, but it's a temple to an unknown God. Because what we know is that in America, 97% of the people in America believe in God. Only 3% profess to be atheists. And I can't tell you how often I've met with atheists, and when I talk with them, I find out that they think they're atheists, but they're really agnostics. Now, an agnostic, the difference between an atheist and an agnostic is an atheist is someone who is convinced. They're as convinced that God does not exist as I am convinced that he does. That is an atheist, someone who is convinced, totally and completely convinced that God does not exist. An agnostic is someone who's going, you know, I think he might exist, I'm not sure. I don't know if there's a God or if there isn't a God. And most atheists that I have talked to are really agnostics, and they don't even know the difference between an atheist and an agnostic. What we do know is that the human nature of man is really to believe in a God. Was the scholar George Beasley Murray. He was a professor at the International Baptist Theological Seminary in Switzerland. He was educated in London. He had several different parishes throughout the Second World War. He was in London helping people get through that turmoil. And in his teachings, he says, the deepest yearning of the human race is to know God. This is what humankind seeks through its religions. It seeks to know God. And as a race that seeks to know God, we have established a temple within ourselves, within our minds, within our homes, within our society and our fabric of which we live, a temple to an unknown God. And it is to this that Paul comes and addresses the Athenians. Because I want to introduce you today to the knowledge of God. There's a few things that we know. One of the things we know about is that people believe, and I believe this, that in what's called general revelation, that God reveals himself in a general way through nature. The Psalms. If you read through the Psalms, you talk about the heavens declare the glory of God. And we can look at the beauty of nature. We can see the handiwork of God within creation. And we can know that God exists. We can know. But with that can easily become misperceptions, and suddenly we have again this unknown God. For instance, there isn't a culture on planet Earth that has ever existed that hasn't had a desire to know God. And so they have, throughout history, looked at nature. And if you look at primitive tribes who don't know any better, who haven't been taught, who don't understand how things worked, aren't scientifically trained, they deduce that every time a child died, that summer they had bumper crops. And therefore, God demands sacrifices. And you have primitive tribes growing up sacrificing children so that they could have bumper crops, because nature tells us so. To this day, clerics will routinely conclude that natural disasters and deaths such as tsunamis, tornadoes, earthquakes, etc., are judgments from an angry, vengeful, wrathful God. And it's a misperception of nature revealing God to us. What nature does is a fabulous job of revealing the magnitude of God. But then there is the next step in coming to know God beyond general revelation, and that's in the philosophical approach to know God. We all know about all of our favorite stars and celebrities. We know about them. You can pick up any tabloid and you can, or Sports Illustrated if you're a sports fan, and you can go and you can read the articles about them, but you don't know them. You don't know what makes them cry. You don't know what makes them laugh. It's one thing to know about an individual. It's an entirely different thing to know a person. How do we know God? To know God, we must know Jesus. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." He has said, "The Father and I are one. The Father is in me and I am in the Father." In order to know God, we must know Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Before Abraham was, said Jesus, I am. That's the name that God gave to Moses. I am. Only God. We read throughout the Old Testament, only God could feed the people in the wilderness. Only God could raise the dead. Only God could control the weather. Only God could forgive sins. And guess what? Jesus did every single one of these things over and over again. God weeps over the loss of life. Did you know that? It's not judgment when bad things happen. Jesus makes it perfectly clear that it's not judgment when bad things happen. How do I know this? Because all we have to do is look at the life of Jesus. And when Jesus lost his friend Lazarus, the Bible reads, he wept. And when God loses one of his precious children, he weeps. God is moved with compassionate suffering. When he sees suffering in this world, he is moved to compassion. And how do I know this? I know this because Jesus had pity on the hungry, the hurting, and the orphaned, and the widow. God has chosen to make himself known to us through Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And God reaches out and he rejoices with us when we rejoice. And God reaches out and he embraces us when we need to feel that touch. And when it's time to go, he takes us home. Precious Lord, take me home. Take me home. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to grow in our knowledge of who you are. We want to grow with you as you embrace us in your arms. And so today we want to stand with you at the altar. And we want to make our vows to you as you have already made your vows to us. For you love this world so much that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. And so we vow to you, O Lord, to follow you in every way we can, to put aside the idols of the unknown God and worship our known God, the God of love. So touch our hearts. Fill us with your presence. Guide us in your way and lead us always. We will follow. Amen. And now may the love of Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Father, be with you, go with you, and fill you with unconditional love for all. And may you walk in his grace and his love forever. Amen.
En zo zit een uur Hour of Power er weer op. Wat is de tijd omgevlogen. Ongelooflijk bedankt voor het kijken. En ik hoop dat je ergens in je... Want we hadden het over binnenkant, buitenkant. Met Miss America en met Henny Huisman. Dat je hart geraakt is. Want in je hart zit een gat. En daar wil God in wonen. Hij wil je zijn liefde geven. Wij nemen afscheid. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.
We stand trembling before him. With every breath, with every song, we love to worship his name. With every word, with every prayer, we bring him glory.